Welcome back to another episode of the Sober Buddy Podcast. I'm here with Megan today. Megan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Brad?
Yeah, I'm good. It's getting close to the holiday season, so things are picking up, but things are well.
Awesome.
This week, we are going to talk about healthy relationships. I think it's an incredible topic, especially whether we're newly sober or wherever we're at in the journey. We're always looking for more and more healthy relationships and communities and to bring people into our lives. So I think it was an interesting, really cool conversation we had a couple weeks back with the Sober Buddy community. I think to start off, what my thoughts are, honestly, that I wasn't really a healthy person to be in a relationship with. And that was a really tough thing to kind of come up with. But what are your thoughts on the whole idea of healthy relationships, you know, and how do we come about finding those? What do you look for when you're determining if this is going to be a healthy relationship or potentially could be?
Yeah, great question. And I love how you kind of started off saying that maybe you realized you weren't the most healthy person to be in a relationship with, or that you had your own things to work on. It's actually what we talked about today in the Sober Buddy meetings. We were kind of talking about our core values and are we living up to those with our behaviors and things? And I had recognized that when I'm drinking, I don't, you know, honesty is a huge part, trustworthiness, and I'm not always honest and trustworthy when I'm drinking. And so that core value doesn't align with, you know, when I'm drinking. It's just, it's thrown out the window. And so now that I feel like now that I'm sober and trying to just do the best with myself, I feel confident in that and that what I'm, you know, my behaviors align with that value of honesty. And so I probably wasn't the best person to be in a relationship with, although I thought I was, because now I'm seeing like, wow, okay, I blamed a lot on other people. That being said, some people I attracted into relationships weren't great. And so when it comes to me, when I'm looking for friendships or a relationship, is write down what you're looking for. Write down, I always call it like the perfect man list or woman list or friend list, which nobody's perfect, but what does that look like? What are you looking for in a friend, in a relationship? Is it trustworthiness? Is it listening? Is it respect, communication, all those things? Like, what's important to you so that you know, so that when something comes along and it's like, whoa, that's not on my list, and that seems like a red flag, then you know. And then you can attract to come to you what you're looking for when you know it, when you know what you're looking for. It makes a huge different. So I would say for me now, I am attracting those friendships and relationships. It's much smaller friendships for sure, but they feel better. They're healthier. They're two-sided. They're mutual. And yeah, that's a long-winded, sorry, answer on this.
No, yeah, but I mean, that's incredible to things, people that also might share some of those same core values that you have, and identifying those about what's important to you and what's important to you, and that you can look in with other people and attract those people. So I think that's another part that's really important too, is setting boundaries with other people. And it's such a common word, a scary word. And for a lot of us getting into recovery and sobriety, it's new. It's a newer thing for us to set boundaries and follow through with them. What was that process like for you when you began on your journey, and what's it like for you today?
Yeah, boundaries were very difficult for me because I really didn't have any. And being a people pleaser, I would put everybody else's feelings and things like that way ahead of mine. And so that's something I've really had to learn. And I'm even reading a book right now, and they share that boundaries, they're not so that you can give people ultimatums and things like that. It's nothing to do really with the other person. It's you. It's setting a healthy boundary to protect yourself. But so many times it can feel uncomfortable. We can almost feel bad, you know, and people might even say to you, like, who are you? You've changed, you know, when you try to start setting boundaries, even if they're really healthy boundaries. But some people might not be in a healthy place themselves, and it makes them uncomfortable and things like that. So setting boundaries is something that's been something huge I've been working on. I definitely cut out, I guess you could say, like a few friends that I realized really weren't healthy for me, or that it just revolved around like sitting around drinking and very surface level conversation. But now I've replaced it with really great friendships, and a lot of them virtual, but whatever, at least they make me feel good. They support me. I try to support them. And I think too, with relationships, you know, it's important to know what we want in it and what a healthy one looks like. Because so many people maybe never saw one growing up, what a healthy relationship looks like. But then back to us and, okay, so this is what we want out of a relationship, but how are we showing up? What kind of a friend are you? Are you a friend? Are you going out of your way and checking on your friends? I hear it all the time too. Well, my friends haven't called since I got sober. I'm like, well, have you called them? Have you tried to reach out to them and say, yeah, I'm not drinking. I don't want to go hang out at the bar with you, but I can do X, Y, and Z. I could do this, that, and the other. And if that sounds good to you, I would love to try to reconnect, type of thing.
Yeah. And, so, and for some people, you're going to be able to still find the happy medium of a friendship, of a relationship, and things might look different. But yeah, the boundaries is a really tough spot. I can relate with you too on the people pleasing and wanting to be everybody's best friend and do what everybody else wanted. The problem, the downside with that, everybody else loves it, right? Oh, this is great. But we're the one left shortchanged every time. Because here again, we've stretched ourselves beyond where we're comfortable. We've done things that we're not comfortable with or whatever it is. And then we're the ones left feeling the not so good feelings that are associated with that. And to do everything for everybody else. So yeah, the boundaries are a very, very important thing to protect where we are headed. And I think it's incredible your friends or somebody's telling you, oh, you've changed. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, change is the only constant in this world. So you're either going forward or you're going backwards. So that's a compliment, Megan, to say, oh, you've changed, you know, hopefully in a good way, right?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was actually from a toxic relationship that I was in. And so they weren't used to that. They were used to me letting them walk all over me and I would be defensive. And it was just this horrible dynamic. But finally, I was like, whoa. And that's honestly what drove me to drink a lot of times was that particular relationship. And so once I started to like learn boundaries and things like that and all these different tools, I didn't want to turn to drinking. Because I wasn't letting it affect me as much and I felt much healthier. But I did a lot of work on that. I did a lot of work on relationships and I had a life coach sort of that helps me with that. And she said, you are a target a lot of for people like that to take advantage of you. And a lot of times they're nurses, they're waitresses, they're people that are in like the caretaking business or, you know, hairdressers. And she's like, so you got to reattract new people. You're in the same being in that same relationship for the rest of your life. And that's kind of what I did was I, again, focused on my core values. And so, yeah, now I guess when you look at it, like when people are saying like, oh, you've changed, they made it seem like it was a bad thing, but it's like, no, that's a good thing. Like now I'm standing up for myself and I'm not attracting those types of relationships that make me feel terrible about myself.
Well, yeah, I think it is a good thing for sure in that context. But it's sometimes, go back to the people-pleasing things, I think we can feel kind of weird about it because it might feel like, for me personally, a little bit of rejection. Like they're saying I've changed and that they're maybe not as interested in the relationship, which yeah, hindsight's always 20/20. So looking back, hey, this is good for us to go our separate ways. But at the time, it can be scary too, because if you only have, say, 5 relationships and 3 out of the 5 people are like, oh, you've changed and you're headed in a different direction. And you're going to lose those relationships when you're first starting out on your sober journey or anywhere. It can be really overwhelming because then it's like, well, where am I going to meet new people? How am I going to get introduced to new people? How am I going to start dating again? How am I going to, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on, right? How are we going to do all these things if the relationships that we've had walk out? And now, although we do know what we're doing is better for ourselves, why are we losing people?
Right. And that's just the natural progression of this whole thing is that relationships are going to change. Some are going to fizzle out, you know, that it's not that anyone's bad or anything like that. It's just people grow and people move in different directions. And when you're moving forward, some of the people that just aren't meant for you, they fizzle out. But again, that makes space for people that are going to just build really genuine, great connections and friendships with you. If you put yourself out there, you know, like being in the community is going to really help facilitate that and find those people that align with where you're at more right now in your life.
Everybody's in your life for a reason. and or a season, right? And then that's growth, because you will have to leave some people behind. And in my life too, I mean, I'm sure there's been people who have kind of left me behind, not in a bad way, just because that they've moved on to other things, and that's okay. And that's what I think a big thing is it's just permission for us to move forward, permission for us to grow, just to not to stay in the same place. And what you said, you know, just makes so much sense. If we hold on to what was, we really leave a very limited opportunity for what's to come into our life. And I feel like I did that in many areas, not just relationships, but in many areas for longer than I could have. It's just that fear of the unknown, that uncomfortable fear of sometimes it was better to be involved with something that was unhealthy, but I knew was going to be there, than to have nothing and not know what the next step was going to be. But then every time I look back, I'm like, oh my goodness, just moving on from that. And then wasn't always a short period of time, but in some period of time, a week, a month, a couple months, something else came along. And I was like, wow, you know what? That never would have been a possibility if I had still been in this other relationship, because of they didn't want other people around, or, you know, all this stuff, right? So letting go of stuff and moving forward really opens up the door for that continued growth.
Absolutely. I love it. And I think that's one of the coolest parts of this whole journey, is being able to do that and then to look back and say, wow, if I didn't make this decision, all of these wonderful things wouldn't have come into my life. And yet they don't come right away. You know, it takes years sometimes, but it's worth it. It's worth just trucking along and moving along and keep making the right decisions that add up even when you don't feel it. And so anybody who's listening today that wants to really focus on cultivating healthy relationships in your life, maybe working on the current ones that are in your life or attracting new ones, is to make a list, like do a line down the middle of the paper and then a T, you know, and on one side, it's going to be you. And then the other side, it'll be like relationships. And put down under you what you think you bring to the table in relationships. What are your strengths? Again, are you a good friend? Are you a good listener? Are you trustworthy? Whatever that might be. Write those down, like on paper. It really helps to write things down. It's proven scientifically to actually come to fruition more. So write down what you think your strengths are, maybe your weaknesses. We all have them. And then what you're looking for in a relationship. It could be a friend or a romantic relationship, whatever, just a person in your life in general. What are those values that are important to you? And you can break it down as much as you really want. And just to put it out there and look at it from time to time. And when someone comes in your life, see, does it align with this? That really helped me to just put it out there.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think that can create a lot of self-awareness for us personally, because if we put down the things we bring to the table, and then we put down this other massive list, of course, of everything we want, and then we look at our list that's a work in progress, it might just make things a little bit more realistic, or just kind of give us some more things that we need to work on. What do you think are the top three, putting you on the spot here, what are the top three or top five things that you would look for to give you the green light on starting a friendship or a relationship or anything like that?
I would say people that don't gossip, that aren't into, you know, that type of thing, or they don't talk about other people. That's really important to me. Somebody who's loyal, somebody who, especially when it comes to friendships, like maybe if you don't talk every day, they're not going to get all like bent out of shape. I love those friendships where maybe you don't get to talk every day, but you talk every few months and you're like, hey, and it's like it never dropped off and you're still just really good. That I like. Good listening, definitely from a friend, but I want to be able to be sure that I bring that as well, you know, so it's not one-sided. One person's just calling, bitching about their life all the other time, and the other person's just like, which I think was a lot of my friendships for a long time, was I would just be like, oh my God, like with all the drama in my life, and never ask the other person, like, how are you doing? You know, so I try to do that when it comes to friendships. And communication is big, because I know what I don't want for sure. And I want people to really listen when it comes to like a romantic relationship, what I'm saying, and not tell me that's not how you feel. Does that happen? So I think those are some of the core people who are hard workers. So definitely like a hard worker and somebody with, you know, a lot of like ambition is important to me.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible list. There might be two or three people out there in the world that fit into that one, Megan.
That's why I have only a few friends.
There you go. Yeah, that's good. And I think too, for me, it's really important for people to like follow through with what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you say you're going to do something, like follow through with it. And people who put forth effort when it comes to different things in problem solvers, I'm really attracted to problem solvers as friends. So much like the, hey, we can't get through this, or hey, we can't figure this out. It's like, well, let's go to work on figuring it out, because saying we can't figure it out, I spent too many years just buying into that, like I can't figure it out. And I mean, honesty is good, and mutual, you know, respecting each other mutually and having boundaries in place that are respected in the community. I love the communication too, being able to talk with people openly without judgment, right? And it's so incredible after people get to know you, then they know the kind of responses that you need. I know with my wife, I'll go to her and I'll tell her stuff. And I mean, she's just incredible, but she's like, what do you need from me? Do you need me to listen, or do you want feedback? And I'm like, right now, I just want you to listen. And it's just so good, you know, because I feel like I went around a long time in relationships and friendships and other ones with girlfriends and stuff. And everybody was just trying to change me. You know, like, mm-hmm. just tell me to do this and do that, and my problems will just go away. And sometimes they're not even problems. It's just what's going on. But yeah, that's incredible. And building those healthy relationships where people will respect that. And I think mm-hmm. that's really cool.
That's almost showing you kind of how to react too as well. So, you know, when you come to her and you're like, oh, this, that, and the other, and you just want to vent and her to listen. And so she asks you, do you want me to just listen, or do you want feedback? So when she has like a moment like that, you're going to know, like, this is probably a good, healthy response is, do you want me to listen, or do you want feedback? You know? And so sometimes like when we're with a healthy person, they sort of show us how a relationship should work. And that's awesome.
Yeah, that's another bonus. But yeah, I think it's an incredible thing to really focus on early in recovery. And not that we didn't have any healthy relationships before we got into this, but I think that it's probably safe to say that we had some unhealthy ones that maybe we got a little bit too comfortable and too used to. And it's a little bit of switching things up and letting a few people down. There was this reel, I don't know if you remember it, but it went completely viral everywhere on Instagram, TikTok, whatever. And it was just like, basically the thing was just let them down, like let them go. You don't have to go to every event to mm-hmm. sacrifice your mental health and everything you're doing just to make everybody else happy. Come to a place where you're comfortable saying no and just letting people down in a sense, if they want you to do this and it's just not where you're headed. That stuff's okay. And I think it's okay to outgrow spaces. It's okay to outgrow places. It's okay to outgrow people. I mean, we do it with careers, with jobs, with where we live, with so many things, right? And I think all that's okay. And especially when you get sober, it's just, you develop a lot of confidence in what you're doing, and that will help you make some of these decisions.
Yeah. We have one quick real fun fact here. So I've been in a relationship since shortly after, I guess, you know, my divorce over 7 years ago. And so he's been with me now since when I've been drinking and when I'm not. And so 3 years of me not drinking and say 3 years of me drinking. And in those 3 years that I was drinking, every few weeks, like clockwork, I would randomly just like break up the relationship with no reasons. And now looking back, like I have never broken it off in the 3 years. I broke it off and then I got sober and then we got back together, and it hasn't been perfect, but I've never just randomly like been like, I'm breaking up with you. And I would text it, like, and now looking back, like, wow, like I didn't realize how unhealthy I was in that relationship. I definitely like blamed a lot on him. But now looking back and seeing that we're not having that issue in the relationship, I'm like, oof, maybe that was me not being my greatest. But I think I just had no coping skills or anything, you know. Everything was just, I would keep everything bottled up and that it would be too much. And I would just be like, okay, I'm going to end this relationship. Or I didn't have any confidence or self-worth or any of those things. So now it's like, I've taken the power back in the relationship and it's totally different. And so you never know. And like in how we started off, like maybe part of it is us. And I think it's worth taking a look in the mirror and just making sure we're showing up how we want to as well. So
I think that'll help people doing that exercise you mentioned. It is really being honest with ourselves about, and if you're not where you want to be, the good news is then you've got something you can hone in to work on. You can work on all of these different areas. It takes a little bit of time, but you can work on that stuff. So if your list is a little bit short on the one side about what you're looking for, then figure out how you're going to start to implement some of that stuff into your life. And you really have to become that person, because if you put everything on the right side of the paper of what you're looking for, I mean, it's going to be a hard sell. If you're not bringing a lot to the table too, and you're looking for all this stuff, it's going to be a sell, right? And eventually it will be exposed. See, we're really good as humans at keeping things together for a period of time. So of course we could, you know, especially us that struggle with addiction, I feel like we got an extra sort of skill there to keep things together for a bit, but with time, it kind of all comes out in the wash. So just make sure that you're getting that, your side of the street cleaned up, and be patient with it while you work on that stuff. Maybe it's going to take a year or 2 years for you to do it, right? You don't need to rush into a bunch of different things. Really focus on that and hone in on, you know, 5 or 6 areas of your life that you want to really work on, so that, you know, you bring a ton of value to a relationship and that you can find somebody else in a friendship or the dating scene that is really going to line up good with that. So incredible, Megan.
Love it. Good stuff. Love. Hopefully it was helpful.
Anything else before we sign off?
I think that's good. Honestly, I think we could do a part 2 for everybody and go into like family relationships. I mean, there's just so many facets of it, but I think that's good. And yeah, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, perfect. And if you haven't had a chance to yet and you listen to the podcast, come and hang out on the app with us. We'd love to have you.